right after the Last Supper on Holy Thursday, our Lord head off to the Garden of Gethsemane with his friends. And those were three best friends, Peter, James, and John. And he entered into a very, very profound prayer. And this was his prayer. He said, "Lord, if it be possible, remove this chalice from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." He looked at the apostles, and they fell asleep. So he woke them up and said, "Stay awake and pray." So he went back and he prayed again. He said, "Lord, if it be possible, remove this chalice from me. Not my will, but your will be done." And once again, he looked at the apostles. They were asleep again. So he prayed the third time, "Father, if it be possible, remove this chalice from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." Then the evangelist says that our Lord actually sweat blood, which is pretty rare, someone sweating blood. And then one of the gospel writers says that an angel came and the angel gave him consolation. Of all the prayers or models that we have in the Bible, that is one of the best models we have. We see a marked contrast because the apostles, they fell asleep. And what happened shortly after that, they ran away. But our Lord prayed very fervently, and he's able to drink the chalice, and that chalice refers to what's going to happen on Good Friday, which would be his crucifixion. So that's a biblical introduction to our topic this afternoon. This evening is we're going to be talking about prayer. That's a topic that we can never talk too much about, nor work too much in our lives to improve upon. It's our prayer life. Prayer is the easiest thing in the world, but the most difficult. Easiest in the sense that you can pray whenever you want, wherever you want, use whatever words you want. God always has his ear attuned to our talking to him. But the problem is, once we start to pray, there are so many obstacles. And that comes obviously from the devil. Even though you're young, you probably notice in your life, you try to pray, then a lot of things happen. Not now, maybe a little bit later, you get distractions, you get temptations. And if you take your spiritual life seriously, that's happened to you. It's happened to me maybe probably more than you. Recognize that the devil doesn't want you to pray. So I think we could even study this even mathematically. Little prayer, then we fall into sin. Fervent prayer, we sin less, but we got trials though, or crosses that God sends to us. So the more we pray, the more we'll be able to resist temptation and sin. But if we give up prayer, we're lost. We're lost. Father John Hardin made this point that those who lose their faith are usually those who give up the practice of prayer. So take prayer very, very seriously. Take it very, very seriously. If you were to go to heaven right now, you go to heaven right now, and to talk with all of the residents in heaven, all the saints in heaven, everyone would say, "I'm here not because of my natural talents, not because of my high IQ, not because of my wit, not because of my prowess or my athletic gifts. No, I'm here because I prayed well." Whereas if you go to hell, obviously you don't want to go there. If you'd ask all those who are damned in hell, didn't pray. It's as simple as that. So St. Alphonsus says, "He who prays well will be saved. He who prays little places his salvation in jeopardy. He who does not pray will be damned." St. Alphonsus of Liguori, Doctor of the Church. So that's our topic. Let me give you a catechesis that I wrote on prayer a couple years ago. I think you'll like it. It's pretty comprehensive. We hopefully we'll be able to get through it. There's quite a lot we have to cover in a relatively short time. But I hope you always take this topic seriously. Yeah. Prayer, take it seriously. Very seriously. You can pass them out now. Catechism of the Catholic Church says that one of the principal reasons why we don't pray is because of laziness. You hear me? Principal reason why we don't pray is because of la flojera, laziness. Prayer takes a lot of hard work and discipline. Okay, so let's dive in. I know about you. I think the picture is great. A young woman absorbed in prayer. Picture worth more than 1,000 words, right? Okay, what is prayer? Father Greg Staub, who is an oblate priest who died about 6 months ago, he wrote a catechism book here that was used about maybe 20 years ago. Very good book. And I like his definition of prayer. He gives three verbs. You know what a verb is, right? Action word. You learn grammar today? Maybe not. Well, okay. You've heard the word verb, right? So there are three verbs. The present tense. Prayer is talking to God, listening to God, and loving God. I like that. Prayer is talking to God, listening to God, and loving God. Now, some of you might say, well, I try to listen, but I don't hear God speaking to me. Well, I think that maybe you don't know how to listen. One way in which God speaks to us is by the Bible. We all have a Bible, right? You read the Bible, it's called the Word of God. So God speaks to you through His Word, through the Bible. So every time you read the Bible, God is speaking to you. Then you respond by talking to Him, and you end by loving God. Okay? Next, is prayer important? What do you think? Yes. What does St. Alphonsus say about the importance of prayer? Okay, I already mentioned that. What should be? He who prays well will be saved. He who prays little places his salvation in jeopardy. He who does not pray will be damned. Wow. Strong words, huh? St. Alphonse is not one of the little street boys walking around L.A., you know. He's a big gun, one of the doctors of the church, okay? The most authoritative sources in the history of the world. I read a book that he said he never committed one deliberate venial sin. He lived until he was 91. How could anyone do that? You heard it, because he was a man of great prayer ever since he was a small boy, up until he died as a bishop. When he was 60, the Pope wanted him to be a bishop, but his health was really deteriorated, and he said, "Your Holy Father, I can't be a bishop." What the Pope said, he said, "Your shadow is enough to sanctify the whole diocese." Quite a compliment, huh? Your shadow is enough to sanctify the whole diocese. Wow. Must have been pretty holy, huh? Just a shadow. Your shadow enough to sanctify your whole family? Not yet, right? We're trying, right? Where can we pray? So we can only pray at St. Peter Chanel Friday and Sunday at Mass. Is that the only time we can pray? No. We can pray everywhere. 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 No place that you cannot pray. When can we pray? Andrea?
Anytime.
Anytime. But put in parentheses, it's good to always pray a little bit. You should pray in the morning and pray at night. You should always have some time when you get up in the morning, offer yourself to God, your morning offering. And before you go to bed, say your night prayers. You can pray anytime. What is the greatest prayer we can offer to God? The Mass. So the holy sacrifice of the Mass is by far the greatest prayer. Okay, here's a theological question for this bright group of individuals this Friday afternoon. Why could someone leave the Catholic Church and become a Jehovah Witness or a Mormon or a born-again Christian? Did you know that most Mormons used to be Catholics? Did you know that? Most Jehovah Witnesses, they used to be Catholics. If you ever stop the Jehovah Witnesses in the street, they'll say, why didn't you become a Catholic? You say, well, I used to be a Catholic, but now I've found the true religion, yeah. That's what they'll say. I think the reason why is because they really never understood what Mass is. Would you agree with that, John? They really never penetrated the depths of really what Mass is. Because if you're a Protestant, they have, you know, probably have like a celebration, a meal of the Lord, maybe once a month. That's just a symbolic presence. We call it consubstantiation. There's a symbolic presence of Christ present in the bread and the wine or the grape juice. Sometimes you just have grape juice, no? We have transubstantiation. You ever hear that word? Transubstantiation, what does that mean?
It means the transformation of the bread and the wine into the body and blood of Jesus Christ.
Right. So we have it's called the real presence. I think if we really go deep, that's the primary reason why someone will leave the Catholic faith, is because they really never understood the Eucharist, or maybe they forgot. Maybe they forgot. That's why, you know, the other religions don't have the Mass. They don't have the greatest prayer. Yeah. What is the prayer that Jesus taught us? Yeah, our Father. Do you know how that was how that was elicited, how that came about? Well, this is how it came about. The apostles were looking at Jesus pray. They saw him pray. And they said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And he said, well, when you pray, say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So they actually saw our Lord praying. They were so impressed by the fervor in his prayer that they wanted to pray. And he said, Our Father, who art in heaven. Okay. The Our Fathers, sometimes called the Lord's Prayer. Okay, prayer expresses the sentiments or feelings of the human heart. What acronym or word game can help us to remember the basic sentiments used in prayer? Let's try to do this by means of a human analogy. Okay, say for example, the only time that you talked to your mother or father would be this. Mom, give me this. Dad, give me this. Mom, give me this. Dad, give me this. That's the only time you ever open up your mouth. Give me this. There's something wrong with that? Is it, Toshi? Why?
Because you're asking for something for yourself, you
mean selfish. Right, it's selfish, right? You're only thinking about, you know, what can I get? What happened if that's the only way we talk to God? Not saying it's wrong, but the only time you open up your mouth to talk to God, God, give me this, give me this, give me this, give me this, give me this. I think there's something incomplete. I really do. Now think if you have a good relationship with your mom or your dad, or maybe a brother or sister, or maybe some friend you really admire. I think we have to learn how to say thank you, right? I think that is being an ingredient of a good relationship on a human level. It's always gimme, gimme, gimme. No, thank you. Also, I think if you have a good rapport with someone, maybe have a really good friend, if you fail your friend, what should you say, Diana? Someone, you fail your friend. I think it's common sense. Anthony? Yeah, I'm sorry. For example, you have an appointment to meet your friend, maybe go out and get a hamburger. You want to have a hamburger and just talk with him. I'll meet you at McDonald's at 6 o'clock. Shows up at 7 o'clock, waiting for an hour. I think only common sense would say, hey, sorry I arrived late and I had some complication at home, right? So you see, understand prayer is good to understand on our communication level with other people. Okay, then maybe you haven't arrived at this yet, but also tell someone someone dear to you, you admire that person. Admiration. For teenagers it's tough. But you know, if you're saying, hey, Mom, man, you're a great cook. Maybe you've never said that. I know what you're thinking. You're probably thinking, well, she's not really that great a cook. No. I think she probably is. As a teenager, I would thank my mom for the meal very often when I was a teenager. She had to make it with the nine of us, so she wasn't a gourmet cook. You know what gourmet means? Gourmet, I mean, it wasn't, you know, the culinary expert of the East Coast, no? But she cooked healthy food for a group of teenage boys. He had four boys, teenage boys at the same time. We could almost eat at the table. We were so hungry. We came back playing sports at night. But it was, you know, hey, Mom, that was a good cook. I don't know. Lasagna was, hey, great. Even though you're not born in Italy, but that was that. So, with respect to God, you want to tell God that you love Him and you admire God. What is the attribute in God that you admire most? Do you know what the word attribute means, John?
Yes, it is a quality or...
That's the best word, quality. What is the quality that you admire most in God?
His mercy.
Mercy. Oh, yeah. Mercy. Mercy.
His love.
Love. How about the peanut gallery on this side? Well, not the peanut gallery, but... Did you say love? Because some, though the experts, when they're talking about mercy, they say that mercy is actually God's love forgiving the sinner, which would be a definition of mercy. God's love forgiving the sinner. What about you, Marta?
That's really
good. Okay, good. Armand, you're going to sing his fiery justice? No. I think most of us will like his mercy, right? Good. Okay, so the ACTS, are you ready? These are the different sentiments or feelings that flow from the human heart. A stands for adoration. As you admire, adore a certain person, even more so with respect to God. Adoration. Got that? Adoration? Okay, C stands for Anna, Andrea, Arthur, go ahead. Okay, contrition, which is sorrow for our failings. Contrition. T?
Thanksgiving.
Okay, Thanksgiving. Good, you got it. Okay. Thanksgiving. Can you tell me, Toshi, what we haven't received from God? Anyone? There's only one thing we haven't received from God. It is our sins. We chose them. None of us can say that God gave us our sins. We chose them, didn't we? No? But aside from that, all the good things that we have are gifts from God. On a human level, intellectual level, moral level, spiritual level, cultural level, everything that we have is a gift from God. Except our sins, we chose those. To our own detriment, so to speak. And S, what does S stand for? Anthony, do you know? I'll tell you. Supplication. There's a new word for you, for your vocabulary. You ever hear the word supplication? Skip your memory, right?
I've heard it, but I'm not familiar with its definition.
Okay, supplication is really, it's related to petition, asking. Asking for certain gifts. St. Augustine says that we are all beggars before God. You ever meet one of those beggars on the street? They're totally dependent upon our mercy or our lack of mercy, right? There we are. But we're beggars before God. We need Him urgently, don't we? So A, adoration, contrition, thanksgiving, supplication. What is the prayer that makes the Immaculate Heart of Mary rejoice? I'll give you a hint. You can see a little picture above the question. What is it?
Yeah.
The Holy Rosary, yeah. I like to ask people, is there anything Mary loves more than the Hail Mary? Yes. The Rosary, because you say it 50 times, huh? So she prefers you to say 50 times rather than one time, right? You probably like this as an altar server. Is there anything better than receiving communion every day? Receiving it twice a day, huh? Anything better than celebrating Mass once a day? Today I'm actually saying three because some of the priests are not present. Okay, so the Holy Rosary. Explain the origin of the Hail Mary. Okay, letter A. Hail Mary, full of grace. I think you know where that comes from. Great. It came from the angel Gabriel. That is found in Luke chapter 1, 28. Maybe write down that verse. Luke 1, 28. When the angel Gabriel came to Mary and said, Hail, full of grace. How about the second part? Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of your womb.
When Mary went to visit Elizabeth.
Great. Okay, so we've got the first part comes from the Archangel Gabriel. The second one comes from the Visitation. That can be found in Luke chapter 1, 41 to 42. So if you're ever talking, you have a debate with a Protestant. Oh, where's that the Hail Mary? Where does that come from, the Bible? You got it. The biblical prayer. Because they want everything based on the Bible, right? So there you have the Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed art thou among women, and bless the fruit of thy womb. That comes from Luke chapter 1. The Annunciation of Visitation. There you have it. Okay, Holy Mary, Mother of God. Okay, you know that actually came in the year 1427 with a sermon of Saint Bernard of Siena. So that was the last part was added later on in the Hail Mary. So the first two parts, Annunciation, Visitation, the last part, Holy Mother, comes in the 15th century, 1427. Number 10, in the glory be to the Father, who do we honor? Andrea? Yes, but the Holy Trinity, yes. We honor the Holy Trinity, Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Explain the meaning of the sign of the cross. We make the sign of the cross. Two ideas. We profess our belief in the Trinity, and we honor the passion and death of Christ on the cross. I repeat, we honor the Blessed Trinity. We honor the passion and death of Jesus on the cross, as is made in the sign of the cross. Okay, let's move on then to what are some of the major obstacles in prayer? Okay, I mentioned this about a half hour ago. One of the major obstacles in prayer is that sometimes we're just lazy. Prayer takes work. Sometimes we're just lazy. Another obstacle would be the temptations of the devil. even though you're young, you're a teenager, I think it's happened to all of you. One day, well, you say, I'm going to pray, and all of a sudden all these obstacles comes up. Well, maybe a little bit later, I don't really feel like it, kind of tired, got a stomach ache, I got to do this homework project now, I got to see something on YouTube, which is important. All these obstacles surface, no? And you're not even aware that it's probably the devil, because the devil doesn't want you to pray. I'll give you another one. Your parents have heard us preaching on that we want all of your families to pray the rosary for, at least I've been doing it the past 25 years here, even before you were born. How often has happened your mom and dad said, we're going to pray the rosary, and then you say you don't want to, then you're older brother says he doesn't want to, and then your father is watching a football game, and well, you know, you maybe do it for 3 or 4 days, then you give it up. I really believe behind that is the devil. Rosary only takes 15 minutes, right? Because you look at it objectively, look at it objectively, it only takes 15 minutes. How long is a telenovela? An hour. How long is a soccer game? 2 hours. How about a baseball game? 3.5 hours, right? How about seeing a movie? So if you look at it mathematically, a rosary is 15 minutes. All these other activities, we have more than ample time for them. So what I'm saying behind this often is the devil. And one thing the devil is going to try to do is going to try to convince you young people not to love Mary, not to love the rosary. He's going to try to convince you to give up praying the rosary, your devotion to Mary, and then you fall right in the trap of the devil. And the temptations and the drugs and the vices that are out there are going to grab onto you like an octopus. Remember, ever seen an octopus? Grab onto you like an octopus and you'll become a slave to vices that you don't want. If you don't pray, we're going to fall. If we pray, we're strong. Okay, so another obstacle would be, I would say, lack of conviction. Lack of conviction. In psychology, they say the principle of motivation. You know, that means we do things that we believe are important. Think about something you like. You're going to do it because you're convinced here that it's worth doing, right? But if you're really convinced that prayer is important, you're going to find time. So a lack of motivation. Okay, number four I would say is ignorance. Ignorance. Okay, next to that, why don't you write down, read a good book on prayer. Eventually in your life, you want to try to read a good book on prayer. Given that my charism is an oblate, is to promote good books, I could, at the drop of the hat, I could give you 10 books right away. But try to find a good book on prayer and read it. Okay, and last obstacle would be lack of spiritual direction. If you get spiritual direction, that'll help you to pray better. You go to the priest and say, well, Father, how can I improve my prayer life? Well, I'll give you some advice if you want to follow it. I'll give you some advice. Yeah. Okay, let's move on to number helps or aids to prayer. Name a few. Okay, now, this is a sure program for success in prayer. All of you have your own Bible? Do you? Okay, praying the Psalms. Just write that in, praying the Psalms. Have you ever opened up your Bible and maybe read one of the Psalms? Not yet? This afternoon we had a doctor that came to visit us, and one of Father Larry's doctor, one of his doctors, and his doctor is a Chinese podiatrist, and he's a Christian. And he says that he tries to pray a psalm every day. Do you know how many psalms your brother prays every month, as well as us? You ever see him carrying that book, The Liturgy of the Hours?
Yeah.
We pray, as priests and religious, 150 psalms every month. Many of you see those Liturgy of the Hours, the book that we bring to prayer. So we pray the whole, all 150 psalms every month. You can pray maybe a psalm every night. Not going to take a long time. That's a good way to learn. Another help would be this. Read the life of a saint. Because the saints were men and women of deep prayer. A very deep prayer. Can't find a saint that did not have a deep prayer life. Okay, next would be this. On your first communion day, did any of you, it's been probably at least 4 years ago, maybe five, did anyone give you any gifts for your first communion? Yeah? What'd you get? No, don't remember.
I had a couple of rosaries.
Couple of rosaries? I remember, I mean, I made my first communion, 54 years ago. I remember I received two gifts. Can I tell you? My parents took me out to a restaurant to have pancakes. Now, going out to a restaurant 50 years ago, that was a luxury. I think the first time I ever went out to a restaurant. Nowadays, everyone goes out to restaurants. Second one is that I got a beautiful prayer book, my first communion prayer book. So if you want to learn how to pray, getting a really good prayer book can help you. Catholic Book Publishers has got a really good prayer book with attractive pictures. You got the prayers in the Mass, the Rosary, the Act of Faith, and Hope, and Charity. You got the Litany of the Blessed Mother, the Litany of Saint Joseph. So, when I was about 8 years old, I learned how to pray by just reading from my prayer book before I would go to bed at night. 5 minutes, just read from the prayer book. Okay, another help in prayer. Would be a prayer missal with the prayers of the Mass. Prayer missal with the prayers of the Mass. When I was studying many years ago to become a priest, my formator in Rome said two of the most authentic sources of prayer would be the Bible and liturgy. Liturgical prayers are really beautiful. You ever listen to when the priest says, "Let us pray," and the preface, it's just so rich. So maybe get the Roman Missal and just read through some of those prayers. That's really going to elevate your mind to God. Okay. Another help to prayer, I mean, you don't have to do this, but writing a prayer journal. Every night, Maybe for a minute you write, you might maybe just write a prayer to God in your own words. Maybe for the diary of Saint Faustina. Some of the great saints had these beautiful diaries when they wrote down the inspirations that God gave them. Okay, let's move on then to family prayers. Can I only give you four there?
Yes.
Okay, one more. So one more aid. Yeah, this is helpful too. Having attractive images like paintings or statues. Do all of you have like a painting or a statue of Mary in your home? You have one of maybe a Divine Mercy? Do all of you have a crucifix on your wall? Good. Yeah. You have Divine Mercy? Yeah. Good. You notice when you, if you're having her in your room, you go in there at night, you don't feel like you're alone. You feel that you feel God's presence, right? So having those images, you're really never alone. Protestants saying we're practicing idolatry, but it's not idolatry, is it? No, we love what it represents. Right? Like you got a picture of your mom and your dad. Okay, you're not adoring it, but you love what it represents, right? Good. So next, family prayers. What might be some family prayers? The rosary. Next would be the Chaplet of the Divine Mercy. Some people think you can only pray the Chaplet at 3 at the Mercy Hour. You can pray it any time you want. What's that? Chaplet. Actually, you're praying it today, right, Belinda? Yeah, you were praying it when you came in, yeah. Well, and then another one would be this. Sure you do this, but praying grace before you have your dinner together. Do you do that, or has that been given up? I mean, if your parents still, why don't you invite your parents to do it? It only takes 30 seconds. When you do that, then you invite God to sit down and have a meal with you. Any of you have the prayer memorized? Bless us, O Lord, these are gifts we're about to receive from your goodness through Christ our Lord. Amen. You know, you have that memorized? Bendice, Señor, los alma medica, vamos a tomar bendice, que yo quise los han preparado, da panica, que no tiene por Cristo nuestro Señor. Spanish is much longer, huh? I heard a funny one in Spanish, que Dios bendiga lo que caiga en la barriga. Some of you speak Spanish, huh? All right, so meditation. Some steps to make a good meditation. Okay, one is take a gospel passage. Okay, and the second is pray before you read it. Third would be think about its meaning and the next would be open up your heart and talk to God. And the last would be try to put it into practice. So what you're praying, try to put it into practice in your life. Good. So we've got just a couple more to go. These are Bible verses. Okay. Write down now. Number one is ask and you shall receive. Okay, I'm not finished. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. Got that? Ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. Can anyone finish verse 2? Number 2?
Where two or more gather in my name, there am I in the midst.
Excellent. Say it again, nice and loud. Where?
Where two or more gather in my name, there am I in the midst.
Great. Right? Yeah, you got it. You write that in there. Two or more gathered in my name, there am I in their midst. The power of community prayer. Okay, third. Andrea, do you know that one? It is, come to me, all you, I put, who are weary. Come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. And right after that, for I am meek and humble of heart. For I am meek and humble of heart. Amen. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Well, did you like this class? It's important. If you really take this seriously, you've got a foundation for prayer. Okay, so let's say Hail Mary, and then we'll say our consecration to Mary. Hopefully we'll be able to put into practice what we've learned today. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among them. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now. Prayer of consecration to Mary. Mary, my Queen and my Mother, hear my sigh from my entire to you. Show my devotion to you. Consecrate you this day. My eyes, my ears, my mouth, my heart, my whole being without reserve. Wherefore, good mothers, I am yours. Keep me and guard me in property and possession. Okay, God bless. See you next week.